Hi, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. It is Wednesday, March 22nd, and this is the audio version of today's post nitpicks galore for gripes about the exercise versus saline study and for responses. A couple of weeks ago, I wrote about a study, Bandak et al., that reported that exercise is no better than saline injections for knee arthritis. That was a seemingly bad news result for exercise, and it provoked many gripes. A follow-up is needed. It's funny, but the first time that I shared the exercise can't beat saline paper on social media, sometime last fall, I actually asked people to nitpick it in the spirit of cheerfully attacking results that we don't like, and I got nothing. Almost nothing. Crickets. But when I wrote about it in more detail this month and emphasized the weird bad news seeming results, nitpicks galore. A veritable gush of grievances, a flood of flack. Unfortunately, as much as I actually wanted some valid reasons to dislike this paper and scoff at its results, I didn't find any in that bountiful harvest of beefs. Four common concerns arose. One, other exercise evidence says that exercise works. Two, it wasn't the right exercise that they studied. Three, and they didn't study enough exercise. And four, saline might not actually be inert. It might actually do something biologically to the knee. There's good answers to all of these concerns, and here they are. So first, nitpick number one, all the other evidence says exercise is good for osteoarthritis. Yes, that is correct. But it's also not a problem for this study. Before we examine other reasons to dismiss Bandak et al. Because it doesn't seem to be flattering to exercise, it actually kind of is flattering to exercise. The weird result of this study was exercise no better than saline, and that's fascinating, and it certainly seems like bad news, basically because it sounds so much like exercise no better than placebo. But it did not show that exercise is actually ineffective for arthritic knees, just that it's no better than something else that is known to be a little bit helpful. 8 weeks of supervised neuromuscular exercise is, in fact, helpful. Not very helpful, but helpful. The weird fact that saline injections were found to be equally helpful does not take that away. The body of evidence, not just this one weird paper, strongly suggests that exercise is indeed a modestly effective treatment for hip and knee arthritis. Just a couple months ago, I also wrote about the results of a huge positive meta-analysis on this topic. Do you get any joint pain relief from your workouts? Science says most people do. That was just a couple months ago that I wrote that. And that was a huge and very recent meta-analysis. So that's what the body of evidence says these days. You want to exercise. No worries. Whatever we make of Bandak's exasperating and weird same-as-saline result, it doesn't actually contradict that conclusion, and the smart money is still on exercising to ease arthritis. Nitpick number two, they didn't study the right exercise. The exercise they studied was just fine, or at least it wasn't obviously inadequate. This nitpick seemed to be entirely based on just not knowing what the researchers did and filling in the blank with the lamest of options. I had some people, you know, literally tell me that, well, if they just told people to do a bunch of squats, that's obviously not adequate. Yeah, well, that's not what they did. They didn't do that. That would have been silly. The authors spelled out their perfectly sensible arthritis-aiding exercise protocol in detail. It's also a well-known protocol. It is a published protocol. This is the GLAD program for knee arthritis. It might not be the best imaginable intervention, but it's definitely not just some squats. And the GLAD program is definitely something we should expect to work or be good enough. We certainly hope that it would be. The more you increase the sophistication and intensity and duration of exercise therapy, the more problems you're going to have with real-world effectiveness. That's why it often makes sense to stick to studying interventions that are closer to what normal people are likely to actually do, where compliance isn't excessively burdensome. In technical terms, this is studying effectiveness, real-world benefits, more than efficacy, benefits in ideal circumstances, even though both are worth knowing. And I've seen this pattern a lot over the years that, you know, whenever anybody studies something that real people can be expected to actually do in the real world, you get people saying, yeah, but that intervention is really weak and it should have been a much better, more ideal intervention. Well, maybe it would have worked then, but would people actually do that? Is that intervention, even if it's effective? You know, if you have to dial up the sophistication that far to get it to work, is that practical? Nitpick number three, they didn't study enough exercise, which is just, you know, this is another variation on the right exercise. I got a lot of comments on this one. 8 weeks is weak sauce, not long enough. Just 8 weeks, seriously? And so on. Yeah, I would have preferred more, but you can easily get all kinds of training effects going in just a few weeks. If there's nothing for knee arthritis in that time, or not much for knee arthritis in that time, then three times is rather unlikely to be significantly better. But this was the most popular nitpick. Just 8 weeks was such a predictable objection that I wish that Bandak et al. Had added more time to their study just to avoid this criticism. It is indeed a limitation, and it's one that the authors acknowledged, but studying short-term benefits is inherently worthwhile, just different. It has its own pros and cons. So this is about effectiveness versus efficacy again. Also, importantly, it's not like this is the only evidence. As the authors note in their limitations sections, we only assessed short-term efficacy. However, a similar exercise intervention with longer duration provided a similar response. Blah, blah, yada, yada, more details. Also, there's a one-year follow-up paper to Bandak's paper showing that both groups were still the same 12 months later. So granted, that's not the same thing as studying a year's worth of ongoing exercise. It was still 2 months of exercise, but they were checking in with those patients a year later. And the fact that there was still no difference a year later does bolster the original result. You can dismiss practically any clinical trial results just by saying that the intervention wasn't good enough or they studied the wrong people. But trying to find the ideal rarely seems to pan out in medical science. Trying to find and study the ideal patients or the ideal intervention duration or type doesn't seem to pan out, especially in rehab and pain medicine. It's super rare. I'd be hard-pressed to give a single example. So I'm perfectly happy with the amount that they did. Or not perfectly. Like I said at the top, I would have preferred more, but it's fine. 2 months is fine. Nitpick number four, saline might not actually be inert. This is an interesting one. The spirit of this objection was that exercise didn't beat saline because saline is actually effective in its own right. It's a kind of medicine. That's actually the premise of the study. This isn't a deal breaker for the study. It's literally why they did it the way that they did it. Comparing exercise to saline injections was based on the well-established certainty that saline injections do, in fact, help people a little bit, that saline injections are a kind of medicine. Why they are, how saline injections help people is interesting, but it's beside the point. The answer wouldn't really change our interpretation of the study. There are two main possibilities for how saline could be medicinal. The first is that saline injections are indeed as biologically trivial as they seem, and whatever good they do is entirely a psychosomatic muting of the pain, what we call an expectation effect. But that's also often just rounded down to placebo. Second, maybe injected saline isn't as biologically neutral as it seems. Maybe squirting fluid into a knee joint actually tinkers with the biochemistry of the joint, and it could be a legitimate biological painkiller in its own right. And there is a paper about this that I cite in the post. This is possible, but it is also implausible that that effect is significant. It's pretty unlikely that diluting joint fluid has a major effect, maybe a little, but not a lot. And the Bandak study supports that or is consistent with that. Bandak et al. Undoubtedly knew all of this. It is literally why they did what they did, or why they did it the way that they did it. The mechanism of saline's effect is beside the point. The point is that it has an effect, and it's a separate, interesting but separate question, how it does what it does. Like people, all studies have flaws and limitations, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're wrong. When we don't like what a study says, it is weirdly amazing how fast we can decide that any unknown detail not covered by the abstract was probably the dumbest possible thing that the researchers could have done. But these researchers were anything but dumb, and I just don't think that they made any of the mistakes that people feared they did. And their results weren't even actually bad news, despite the appearance of it. It was a fascinating experiment, and the response to it was also fascinating. Thanks for the discussions, everyone.